In 1939, World War II came to Lawrence Hargrave Drive. John Baines, now a concrete contractor, recalls the presence of the armed forces during those years.
You know, there used to be blackouts and things all the way along the coast, and they had wardens in each town that used to get alarmed, and they used to come around and do patrols and make sure you had blackout paper up to your windows. So there was quite a bit of fear. And I can remember big convoys of boats coming through.
I can remember army trucks going through at different times, you know, with soldiers on them. They had a camp down at the bottom of Clifton Hill. I think there was four soldiers and a sergeant or whatever rank, I don't know, I can't remember now, but they had the road dynamited between the bottom of Clifton Hill and what they call the amphitheatre there now, and it was loaded up to be blown up if the Japs invaded us.
Charles Simpson adds,
during World War II, we've been reliably informed by a number of locals that the American Corps of Engineers, who were in Australia at that stage, offered to rebuild the road by their simple method of blasting three quarters of the cliffs out and building a viaduct from Colcliffe to Clifton. Most of the locals were of the opinion the New South Wales government should have taken that offer. It was a free offer, and they never took them up on it.
Gloria Buren spent the war years in Brisbane, working as head waitress at the Queensland Club.
I had a wonderful time. It was a jumping off spot for the campaign in the South Pacific, like, and there was about 100 men to every woman. We used to go out dancing nearly every night of the week. You had to go and look after the troops, like, and we had to be in at midnight, otherwise the doorman would lock us out.
Gloria met her husband Jack, a miner from Thirroul, when he returned from fighting in Papua New Guinea, and they settled at Clifton. Their first house was a cottage owned by the colliery.
It was a weatherboard house, badly in need of paint, with a leaking corrugated iron roof. Of course, the house had been there that long, when a real windy night, all the coal dust that was stored in the roof used to come down. Because it had one of those ceilings, sort of board ceiling, and down you go out in the morning and everything in the kitchen be covered in coal dust. So I had plenty to do. But like everyone was in the same boat, we were all quite happy. And along the road a bit there, used to have his cows up there wandering round and his horses. And when my son got older, he bought a pony. We bought it for him for his birthday. And used to just roam up there, and our front veranda was on the street, and the horse would stand there if he wanted anything and hang his head over the front veranda. Goodness me, things were different in those days. And often a rocket come roaring down the mountain. There was a house up the top of the street on the left. One night after heavy rain, these rocks used to come pounding down. And this great rock came down and wiped out their laundry and shed and practically the back of the house. But no one was hurt. But rocks would often come down.
How did the locals react to all those rock falls? Were they sort of taking it all in their stride?
Oh, yes, yes. There was an old lady lived across the line here. She was terribly lucky. She had this big long house she lived in all her life. And just after she died, this great rock came down and wiped the house out. It was real strange. I'll never forget it. We went up to have a look, like, and it was a long house, like the rooms beside one another. The whole place, they had this great big rock in the middle of it.
The majority of people who lived along Lawrence Hargrave Drive at that time had little secondary education. And for the young men, there was little choice of occupation, as Ron Draper found.
You just practically left school and walked straight into a job, which was mainly the pit or the steelworks.
Were they the only two options available to you?
And about that time, yes. Or the railway.